Oh, snap! Wake up, stand up, and snap out of it. Take the risk right out of it. Wake up, stand up, snap out of it. Change your mind, begin again. Just snap.
Whoa, hello, everybody. Today, have we got a show that's going to snap you right out of it? Because this is the Raw Dog Food Truth, and my name is Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt. I am your host. I am an author, a motivational leadership speaker, and the top dog at Raw Dog Food and Company. And today my guest is Neely Piazza. Neely Piazza. I love to say that name, Neely Piazza. Neely is an animal health activist. She is a certified animal massage and acupressure therapist, certified Reiki and nutritional counselor. Plus, she's the kennel manager of Happy Trails Pet Spa and Resort in lovely Loveland, Colorado. And today, there's nobody else I would rather discuss this with, because Neely, and I have to tell you a little story about, we call Neely affectionately the crazy corgi lady. That's right. Why? Because most of the time, Neely has six corgis living at her house. She's had up to seven. Right now, she has six. But she's so passionate. She's so passionate about health in dogs. And so today, we are going to talk about this new movie called Pet Fooled, because pretty packaging is hiding an ugly truth in the pet food industry. Is it not, Neely Piazza?
Absolutely. Marketing is just ridiculous in pet food industry.
No, say it isn't so, Neely. Say those pretty packages, those commercials. I love the commercials where the dog's running happily through the grass and he's saying, your dog is an ancestral, you know, is an ancestor to the wolves. Feed him what a wolf would eat. Well, a wolf wouldn't eat that crap.
So why are you feeding it kibble? Have you ever seen a wolf eat kibble? No.
Well, I've never really been up close and personal with a wolf. Well, I have. Wait. I have. In Dallas, Texas, when I lived in Dallas, we had a friend who had a wolf, and his name was Wolford. He was a big star in Dallas, but he was. But I never, you know, saw what he ate. But listen, no way is a wolf going to eat kibble when he can eat the real thing, right? But let's talk about the show Pet Fooled. Neely, oh my gosh. That, I had to say, hooray. I was standing up and applauding, as I'm sure you were too, that we saw what we have known for, you know, years. You've been feeding 13 plus years raw. I've been feeding 16 plus years raw. We're finally standing up and applauding and saying, thank God that they are getting the information out about what's really in kibble.
Exactly. Finally, it's nice that it's horrible that it took that recall to get any attention drawn to it, but finally, some of the more holistic-minded vets and people are actually looking at that and admitting that nutrition has absolutely everything to do with health, and the stuff that's in kibble started as something to do with the human waste stream. It's basically all waste. That's how it all got started. And even if it's not, like it says in the movie, the process it goes through to get into that form totally takes out any nutritional value that was there to start with. That's why you always have added vitamin and mineral supplements back into the bag. It's ridiculous. Even if you start with the best ingredients in the world, it's still kibble, and it's totally inappropriate for any carnivore to be consuming.
Now, you know, one of the things that this film is trying to do or wants to do is that they want to try to bring greater awareness and giving a call for greater regulation in the pet food industry. But I don't know if that's really going to happen, right? I don't think that's going to happen.
It's a totally self-regulated, multi-billion-dollar industry. Why would they allow any real regulation in there? They make the rules, they set the rules, and they set them to where they can easily follow them, and then they go around telling everybody that they follow all the rules. Well, it's because they made the rules. There's no regulation whatsoever.
You know,
no
what
real
was interesting
anyway.
About, right. What was interesting about watching this show was they interviewed some vets that were against the raw diet, and raw feeders were just sitting there with their mouth open. Not well, to a certain extent, we've heard a lot of that, but it was really, really funny when you listen to Dr. Karen Becker and Dr. Barbara Royale, who have been, in this industry for a very long time, and they can combat everything that these other vets were talking about. But I still think it's so hard for people, Neely, it's so hard for people to really believe that these beautiful packages, these beautiful bags that are sitting out in these beautifully decorated stores, they've got all these treats, that this stuff could really be poisoning their dogs. But they are poisoning
their
dogs.
Well, it's so misleading. It's so misleading because labeling, there's the labeling laws are very, very lax. You can insinuate pretty much anything you want. If you look at the definition of natural, it's anything that is basically anything. It can be anything mined. It can be anything carbon-based. It can be anything non-carbon-based. It can be adulterated. It can be irradiated. All those things are in the definition of natural. Is that what you would think natural would be? And they put the labeling and the all the buzzwords that they use, grain free. Well, that doesn't mean anything. Grain free means absolutely nothing. You still have to have some sort of a carbohydrate binder in there, which is just as bad as the grain is. You'll have a pea protein or a tapioca protein or something like that, something to hold it all together. It's the same thing as if it had a grain in it. It's so terribly misleading, and if you don't know what the words mean and how to read the label, you have no idea what's actually in there. There's no way to tell, and they do that purposely. I mean, look at the Beneful bag. You really think that's what's in there? Yeah, I don't think so.
No, and I would tell you that my mom was feeding her her dog. She has a very small dog. I would say he's probably about 15 pounds. She was feeding him Blue Buffalo. And all of a sudden, because I go home every 2 months. I go back to Oklahoma. I live here in Colorado. I go back home. I went home, and all of a sudden, he had blown up. I mean, he was just like this little fat pig running around. I was like, Mom, what is going on with Mugs? What is happening? I said, show me what you're feeding him. And she was feeding him this Blue Buffalo, and I turned it around, and I said, this is why this dog is gaining so much weight. Have you seen how many carbs are in here? It's all sugar. This dog is just like, blowing up, you know? And so she took him off of that and got him back on a good diet, and boom, he came right back down. But I, yikes. Every time I see a really fat dog, I want to say, hey, are you feeding Blue Buffalo? Yeah, I'm a little psychic, but no, I don't.
Well, I know a lot of people don't realize, but the dogs have absolutely no requirement for carbohydrates whatsoever. And in fact, they can be somewhat detrimental, especially a starchy kind. I mean, if you're doing I'm not proposing vegetables or anything, but if you're doing like dark leafy greens or something like that, just sort of to top in, that's one thing. But there's no any type of starch like the wheat or the corn or the soy or potatoes or sweet potatoes or all those things that they love to put in there, it turns instantly to sugar, and you end up with bloated and diabetic dogs, and they have absolutely no nutritional requirement whatsoever for that. And the carbohydrate percentage on the bag is very misleading too, because if you actually figure the percent by weight, or by on a dry matter basis or wet matter basis or however you want to look at it, the carb percentage is usually up in the 80%, and your protein percentage is barely 10 to 12. So within that,
right,
within that bag, and that's yeah, but they don't have to list it that way, because they're doing it on a different percentage basis. So it's just
nuts. And you know what else I found that was really interesting was who's really responsible for these, you know, pet food industries. And the names like Nestle's and Mars came up, right? These huge conglomerates. And they were talking about how there's really only about four, you know, three to four of the big guys. And what they do is they just repackage the same food under different names. I think,
exactly.
What is that called? White labeling?
Exactly.
White labeling, something like that. So we think that there's all this variety out there because, you know, heck, the way our brains are today, we want something new all the time. We want different varieties, which I'm all about variety. That's why we have a bunch of variety packs, you know, different proteins on rawdogfood.com. But, yeah, it is just crazy. And I really want our listeners, if you have not seen Pet Fooled and you have a pet, and let's just clarify, if you have a pet that you love, okay, if you have a dog that you just stick out in the, right, a pet that you love, if you just have a dog that you stick out in the backyard, right, and you throw in the can of Old Roy, this show's probably not going to affect you too much. But this is for the people who really love their pets. But I want to say this, Neely, I've heard this, when I've been telling people about Pet Fooled, do you want to know what the number one thing is, the number one response I get from people when I tell them about watching this show?
What?
What they say is, I'm afraid to watch it. I don't want to watch it. And I started thinking about this, and I think why people are afraid to watch Pet Fooled is because they're afraid that they're going to feel bad about what they're feeding their dogs.
But
and
just
then,
think how much better you'll feel when you know that you've done something good and changed their food from something bad to something good. So that would make you feel better. Plus, it'll make your dog live longer, and it'll definitely make your dog feel better. So, you know, ignorance is not always bliss. It's just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's going to go away.
Right, but I think there's a lot of people out there, Neely, that aren't like you and I. They don't really know that there's a better solution. They don't know that they can feed a raw diet, and I think that they feel helpless to do anything about it. I think the word is getting out about raw diets, certainly with podcasts and education that you do and all the people that you see and that you consult and what I do. But then there's the other component where I think that they feel afraid that raw dog food is going to cost too much money and, you know, they might already be on a tight budget. So I do understand why people may not want to watch the show. But here's the thing. Is raw dog food really that much more expensive? So just for a second, let me give everybody a form. No, it's not. You and I know it's not. But here's, you have six dogs. You have six dogs. I have,
exactly.
I have one German now. But here's what I want to give is the formula. So in the raw dog food world, typically what you feed is 2% of your dog's breed's optimal weight. Okay, so let's say that you have a 65-pound dog, okay, that's what they should weigh if they're at their optimal weight. So what you want to do is you're going to feed them 2% of that weight, which is 1 pound, 3 ounces a day. 1 pound, 3 ounces a day. Now we multiply that times 30 days for a month's worth. That's 39 pounds of raw food. If you go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, you're going to see that we have a 40-pound bulk pack. Okay, we have bulk packs, and our chicken bulk pack is $85. So you can spend $85 minus the kibble cost, and that's all it costs you to give your dog the nutritionally sound food he needs to live a healthy life. Not just live, Neely, not just survive, because
yeah,
a lot of dogs do that, but
I'm talking about live. Survive.
Right. Now,
right.
Now, Neely, you feed six dogs, and somehow you figured out how to do that. But, you know, let's go back a little ways. What started you on this raw dog food journey 13 years ago? Because all that information wasn't out there 13 years ago.
Right. Well, my mom was a corgi breeder, and so she was always looking for a better way to feed her puppies. And so I just sort of grew up being somewhat aware of, you know, that one dog food is not necessarily equal to the next, and that you should always look for, you know, look for something better, and there's always new stuff coming out. So I kind of had that awareness in the back of my mind. And then when I took my first class with the massage and acupressure program, some of the they introduced alternative modalities. So we went into this was a massage class, so we went into acupressure, we went into box flowers, we went into essential oils, things like that. And then they introduced the idea of a raw diet, and all of a sudden, light bulb went off in my head, and I'm thinking, you idiot, why did somebody have to tell you about that? That's like the only answer, or the best answer. In my opinion, it's the only answer, but I am a little bit hardcore on this particular topic. And it just was like, well, that makes total sense. Why is nobody else thought of that? Why did I not think of it? And started reading up everything I could find, and I put together a program, and within less than a week, my dogs were on raw. And there was absolutely nothing wrong with my dogs at the time. They were typically what you would call, you know, a normal, happy, healthy dog. And within 2 weeks, there was a definitive difference in the way they looked, the way they acted, their attitude, everything. And like I said, there was really nothing obviously wrong with them to start with. But even with a dog that you think is healthy, you change their diet to an appropriate diet, it makes a world of difference. So you just think about what happens when you change a dog that has problems. It's amazing. And most of the time, or a lot of the time, that's the only thing you need to change. You get off all these toxic things and all these toxic meds and unnecessary things like that, and put them on a biologically species appropriate diet, and their body will fix itself. That's basically all there is to it. So, and it's not difficult. It's not something. And raw dog food and co makes it super easy with their premixes and or their pre-made blends. Makes it super easy if you don't want to have to put together your own diet or whatever. Go to something like that. I wouldn't go to any of the commercial brands because there's all kinds of weird things that they do to it. It's not truly raw, but it's amazing the difference it makes.
No, it's so true, and I love the blends because we do have a lot of newbies. We have a lot of new people that are coming onto the raw scene, which we love. But there's a lot of information that's still out there, certainly the books that have been written, like, you know, See Spot, Live Longer, that sort of thing. Those were all written, and they're written from a standpoint of mixing your own food. So you have this.
Which is what I started doing. From the, yeah.
Yeah, we did too. But you know what? Yeah. I find over and over again that some of the newbies don't really understand it. Number one, they're stressing themselves out. They're causing themselves a whole lot more work. And the ratios maybe aren't just spot on either. So I really love the blends, number one, because we don't have very much time in the world today, it seems like. I mean, we have the same amount of time, but, you know, we get our face planted in our phones and planted in our computers. Therefore, we just don't have a whole lot of time to put together a species-appropriate diet. So if you go in and you look at our blends, our complete blends, our prey model compliant blends, we have those. We also do, Neely, have the barf compliant or blends, and that means that we have some of the blends that have the fruits and vegetables in them, mostly vegetables, not necessarily fruits, because there's two schools of thought out there, and I'm not sure at this point in time in the raw food industry, if there's a definitive answer. I was just reading an article on it today. If there's a definitive answer on whether dogs don't need any, you know, vegetables in their diet or not. So we have both types for whichever way you want to, you know, come at the raw diet. Either way, they're way, way better than even your top quality kibble. What is a top quality kibble?
Yeah.
Anyway, what is that? I hear that all the time. I think my dog top quality kibble. What is that, Neely?
It's an oxymoron is what it is. There's no such thing as good kibble. Bad and not quite as bad, but there's no such thing as good kibble. Whoever thinks that is totally fooling themselves. So... And if you're going back to the whole pricing, if you are feeding a top quality kibble, quote unquote, you're paying more for that than you would for a much better, much higher quality, much more appropriate raw dog food. So it's not a valid argument. I don't think.
You know, it's really. No, I don't either, you know, but, and I'm passionate. I am passionate about it. It's so funny. I have some friends in the neighborhood, and they know that we had this raw dog food, and I was talking to one of my neighbors the other day on the phone. She said, "Now, Didi, close your ears. I'm getting ready to pour kibble in my dog's bowls." I had to laugh at her, you know, but she was saying, look, I just don't have. She has two dogs, okay, and they're both around that 65 to 70-pound dog, and so that's going to run her almost $200 a month. And she said, Didi, I don't have it. So I said, well, listen, here's what you should do. You should at least try to feed your dogs once a week. Give them some nutrition about once a week. What would you say to folks that come to you for consultation about the money issue and – I can't feed a raw diet 24/7.
You're probably not going to like this answer. I would figure out they either do it or don't. I'm big proponent of not mixing and not doing half and half or anything like that because it totally messes up the flow of the gut. But there's always a way. There's always, always, if they can afford to feed even the worst quality kibble, there is always a way to afford to feed a raw diet. It's just a matter of figuring out exactly how to do it. There's always a way. That's my answer. There's always a way. Might take a little bit of doing. But, yeah, I always tell people either shit or get off the pot. Don't mix the two. I mean, do one or the other. Be committed and be 100% solid with it yourself, or just don't even bother because you're not going to do your dog any favors. But there is definitely always a way. But the problem, you know, if people are not, like, really sold on it and comfortable with it, they're just going to flip-flop back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I think that's a bad idea.
Well, let's talk about being comfortable about it. You know, the issue that comes up a lot is this whole bacteria issue, this whole
bacteria
with raw.
Yep. Yep. Now, and that's total BS. That's total BS. I mean,
yeah.
First of all, the pH in the dog's gut is so acidic that it's designed for that. They're designed to be not only hunters but also scavengers. So they are designed to be able to handle pretty much any kind of bacteria that they're going to run into. And the other part is, and here, this is getting back to mixing too, which I'll kind of put that together in just a minute. But the other part is their digestive system and their tract is so short that nothing stays in that system long enough to proliferate. So even if they are ingesting harmful or pathogenic bacteria or whatever, there's not enough time for it to proliferate because it goes from one end to out the other in less than 18 hours. That's not even long enough to do a culture. So, and then once it hits the gut, it's pretty much just disintegrated because it can't survive in that acidic of an environment. Now, kibble, on the other hand, so you want that acidic environment. People need to be more alkaline. Dogs need to be more acidic. So what kibble does, just by the nature of it being kibble, it raises the pH, makes the dog's insides more alkaline, which makes the environment for the harmful bacteria more preferable. Plus, we already talked about it having carbohydrates in it, be it grain-free or not. It still has the starchy carbohydrates in it, which is what those harmful bacteria live on. So not only are you providing a nice, warm environment for it, but you're also providing it food. So when you go mixing the two, that's when you have problems. People say, oh, I tried raw and my dog got sick. It got this, that, or the other. Well, I guarantee you they were feeding it kibble too. And you can't do that because it throws off the entire thing. They're not compatible. So I forgot what the question was now. Oh, the bacteria thing.
Mealy.
It's a total BS issue.
You're not even as old as I am, and your memory's slipping. We got to get you on some raw food, my dear. Come on now.
Well, I get up on these tangents, and then I forget where I was headed.
We were talking about bacteria. And I love what Dr. Becker
right.
said in the show. Dr. Becker said, let's talk about eating poop. Except she said shit. She said,
right.
let's talk about eating
yeah.
poop. And she said, look, dogs eat poop. And you and I were discussing this earlier. Why do dogs eat poop?
Oh, Lord. There's any number of reasons. And people have – there's no way to know. Everybody's different. They could be lacking in nutrition. They could be bored. They could turn it into a game. I worked at a kennel. One of my puppies, when she was a puppy, she followed me around as I was picking up poop. And she started eating poop, and I swear to God, it was because she was trying to help me clean the yard while I was scooping it. I swear that's why she started doing it. She stopped, but I guarantee you that she saw me doing that and was following me around. And she's like, oh, I'll just help, you know. So there's any number of reasons why they do it. But the poop and the bacteria thing, like they were talking about in the show, the other thing they didn't mention is that kibble poop has just as much, if not more, bacteria in it as raw-fed poop does. And there's three times as much kibble poop coming out of a dog as there is raw food poop coming out of a dog. I mean, it's a
man. You are not kidding.
Kind of a it's ridiculous. And believe me, working in a kennel, I know about poop. I see a lot of poop, and you can tell a lot about a dog from its poop. And I also know what they eat, right? Because boarding dogs have to bring their own food. You should see the fluorescent colors that come out of some of these dogs. I'm like, oh my gosh, that dog's eating Beneful, or that dog's eating Rachel Ray, or you can tell, like, it comes out fluorescent orange or lime green or some. It's crazy. Oh, what good is that doing the dog? I mean, it's ridiculous.
No, come on. The pet food industries have figured us humans out. They're like, let me make these pet parents feel good. Let me put Rachel Ray's name on this bag, because you know that Rachel Ray formulated this herself. Yeah, right. No, people, come on, snap out of it. Rachel Ray got paid a lot of money to put her name on that bag. Oh.
Yep. You know, she's as rich as Oprah and Martha Stewart.
How'd you know that?
I love Rachel Ray, but I love Rachel Ray. I don't like her dog food, but I like her.
Hey, I want to ask you a question, because you're a pet nutritionist. You have a lot of experience. I heard something the other day, and it disturbed me. It disturbed me. And this was somebody who's new in raw dog food business. They're coming on. They're going to start selling raw dog food. And they made this statement that really, really concerned me about what they may or may not know. And one of the things that this movie, Pet Fooled, I think is going to do is going to cause a lot of people to jump into the raw dog food business, which if they do it right, that is a great thing, okay? But if they do it wrong, that is not a good thing. And one thing that I heard that I've never heard, actually, Neely, was that they were saying, listen, we are not going to sell tripe, okay? And you know that we use tripe as a natural probiotic, Our tripe is unbleached green tripe. Stinks like hell, but it's the greatest stuff ever. But what?
I don't think it stinks at all. I think it smells good. But I'm weird.
Okay,
that
now
way.
I have to.
But
I'm tripe. Gonna, yeah, you are weird. Okay, you weird. You just weird. I'm just gonna tell you right now. That's weird.
Tripe is a superfood, and anybody that says anything different doesn't know what they're talking about. That's my view.
Okay, thank you, Neely Piazza. But here's the thing. They were talking about that there was some instability, that they weren't going to sell tripe because there was some instability in the bacteria in tripe. Number one, I have never, ever heard that. Not in our unbleached green tripe. I have never heard that. And number two, so they called it potentially harmful bacteria, and they,
which we already talked
they've
about,
decided, right, and what they are talking about is that they say that they're going to do a probiotic mix developed by a certain renowned veterinarian, but it's this pre-mix for probiotic. Now I get it, there are a lot of probiotics on the market, but does that make any sense to you, why somebody would use a pre-mixed probiotic over a fresh, natural probiotic?
No, absolutely not. If you look into, and you can look at, Dog Naturally has actually got several articles on this too about doing probiotics and all. The absolute best way to utilize probiotic and get the best benefits is by using a natural product. And that's true of anything. A natural product is always going to be better than anything that's had to be added back in or synthesized or whatever. A whole food, and probiotic specifically, a whole food probiotic, which tripe is going to be far superior to anything that has been isolated and added back in, even if that is a natural live product. It still is not coming from a whole food, which is you're going to have your, it's going to be separated from everything around it. And the whole food, whole wellness philosophy is that the body is a whole, and it utilizes things not individually, but with the things that come with it. That's the best way for any body to utilize any kind of nutrient is when it comes to you in its natural state. Period. End of story. So, tripe as a whole food natural product is in my opinion going to be far superior. Not saying that something else couldn't be feasible, but tripe is going to be far superior to anything like that, I think. And I think tripe is an absolute superfood. So, and that's actually how I found you guys in the first place, was looking for tripe. So,
you could have just put in there, who sells the stinky stuff? But because you think that stinky stuff smells good, maybe that didn't, you know, hit you in your head. You were like, oh, I like tripe. It smells great. Hey,
well,
you warm it up.
It's
because, when you warm it up, you can really get a good whiff of it.
No, because it reminds me of the way a barn smells and the way a pasture smells. And growing up with horses and all, that's what I smell. I smell horses. I don't smell poop. So it's not offensive to me at all.
Well, you know what? So. You know what, Neely? It's not a good mate attractor. It's not a good mate attractor.
Are you telling me that's why I'm single?
Are you
trying to tell me something, Needy?
Are you insinuating something? I'm just throwing that out there. I'm just, you know, just I'm your friend, and I want you to, you know, be happy.
Well, if you've ever watched a dog on a farm, one of the things that they love the most is horse poop and cow poop. So, I mean, it's definitely something that they all enjoy too. So,
yeah, it's really funny. You know, we have a lot of vegetarians. We have a lot of vegetarians that are coming over to the raw diet, and they are having a difficult time. Neely, they're having a difficult time because this is all raw meat. I mean, it's raw chicken, it's raw beef, and the tripe, oh my gosh, they just about, you know, gagged their lungs out. But I'm like, I think we're going to start selling gas masks with this stuff. I think we're going to start selling, like, the tripe mask, you know?
Just tell them that tripe is probably more vegetarian than the meat, if you want to really look at it that way, because that's what the green is grass, basically. So just tell them that tripe is basically vegetarian. But the way that I deal with vegetarians, and a lot of times that's what you get, because they're usually more health conscious, and most of them are usually vegetarians for their own health reasons. Some of them are more, you know, moral, but for moral political reasons or whatever. But a good portion of them are for health reasons. So that's an appropriate way for a person to eat, but it's not an appropriate way for a dog to eat. So if you're going to honor your dog for being a dog and do the best that you can for him, you have to feed him like a dog, not like a person. And so that's what dogs need to eat. So when you present it to them like that from a health perspective, especially if that's where they're coming from by being a vegetarian, sometimes they can get past it, you know, the deal with the meat thing. Sometimes they can't, but when you make it as convenient as, like we were talking about, some of the mixes and blends that you guys have, it's super, super simple. So they don't even have to really touch it. Just scoop it out and put it in the bowl and good with it. So,
and
I've
that
been able
way,
to, it, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and that's the way that they honor his dogness.
The dogness, yeah. You have to honor a dog's dogness. He has to be a dog. You can't treat a dog like a person because that's, I mean, treating a dog like it's disrespectful, I think, and they deserve way more than that. I think that most dogs deserve more respect than most people do. So the best way to do that is to honor his dogness, and the best way, the first step to doing that is to feed the dog like a dog. So.
Right. Love him like a human. Don't feed him like a human, right?
Absolutely.
Well, you know what, Miss Neely Piazza, we are just about out of time, but I got to have you back. I got to have you back on the show because you know why? You know so much about, and one of the things that I know that you are super passionate about is dog meds, pharmaceuticals for dogs.
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel?
Pharmaceuticals and all that, yeah. Don't do it. Change their diet. Throw away the drugs. It's an industry. Stay away. Stay away. That's how I feel about it.
She's quite passionate about it, so we're going to have you on again to talk about meds and dogs. But thank you so much for coming on the show. And listen, we really want to encourage you. I know that it's scary, a little bit disturbing, but we really do want to encourage you to go out and watch Pet Fooled. And we're not fooling you here on this show because this is the raw dog food truth. And at Raw Dog Food and Company, our mission, well, our business is your dog's health. And you know what?
Exactly.
Friends.
And the dog food industry is not.
Thank you, Neely. And guess what? Friends don't let friends feed kibble.
Friends feed kibble.
All right, my friend.
That's right.
Well, I will see you. I will see you soon, Miss Neely Piazza. Find us over at rawdogfood.com. And in the meantime, snap out of it.
Oh, snap. Wake up, stand up, and snap out of it. Take the risk right out of it. Wake up, stand up, snap out of it. Change your mind, begin again. Just snap. Woo!